Shabbos before Shavuos is always we always read Parshas Bamidbar, and so there has to be some sort of a connection between Parshas Bamidbar and Shavuos. So I'm going to discuss tonight this connection. The majority of the parasha discusses the counting of Klal Yisrael. First, just counting the number of people in each shevet, and then discussing how the different shvatim should camp around the Mishkan, who together with who, and which sides. It's a very big arichus, maybe probably close to 100 psukim, talking about just the numbers of Klal Yisrael and where they sit. It doesn't seem to be something that the Torah should devote so much space to. If you look in the Midrashim bring a tremendous explain how the minyan shows the golem and the minyan show the tremendous avo that Klal Yisrael has to Hashem had for Klal Yisrael. So what exactly is this avo? How do we see that from the counting and from the golem? And the Mefarshim explained that the counting and the golem was for military purposes. Because in order to go into Eretz Yisrael, there's going to have to be a melchama, and you need to count how many able soldiers they had, and they had to camp in a certain way, which would be very strategic. But it's very difficult to understand that the Torah is just giving me the military strategy of Klal Yisrael. Also, you find that the way that they did it, the golem was the seder that they brought, the Nesiim brought the karbanos by the Chanukah Mizbeach. It seems that it has to be a little bit more to it than just military strategy. Let's teach it to be eyeing a little bit into the idea of the minyan, of the counting in the parasha. So there's two minyanim that are really very close together in terms of amount of time. There's kisisa, there's a tzivui to give a machtsa shekel, and that's in order to count Klal Yisrael. Kisisa is Vayishmei Yisrael. You should count Klal Yisrael. How do you count them? By everybody giving a machtsa shekel. And that counting was done sometime after Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur, they became the Ribono Shel Olam mitzaveh them on the Mishkan. And that's when they started the Mishkan. They had to give the machtsa shekel. Was towards the Adonav of the Mishkan. So some point after Yom Kippur, they had this first minyan. That's the same year that they had Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim was in Nisan. And at some point after Yud Aleph Tishrei, they had this second minyan had to have taken place. The Rashi in Kisisa proves that these two countings were not the same counting. The counting that we find in Kisisa, the Tzivu in Kisisa, and the actual counting in Pekudei, Rashi says in Kisisa, that's not the same counting as we have in this parasha. Now, sometimes you have different things in Shemois and Bamidbar that could be the same exact story. It's going to be the same exact day. But Rashi proves that can't be the case. Because the Mishkan was already built it was already finished building in Kislev, but they waited. The Hakamas HaMishkan was in Nisan. And the beginning of this week's parasha is Be'echol HaChodesh HaSheni B'Shan HaSheni. This is already Iyar. So it's already at least a month after the Mishkan is already built. So if the first counting was done with a Machsa Shekel, which was given for the Adonim, and the Torah in Parashat Bekudei already gives the number based on the Machsa Shekel. So that counting couldn't have been the same counting as we have over here, because that would have clearly had to have been done before Iyar. So how could this be? So this Al-Korcha can't be the same counting. This Rashi says in Kisisa. Why would we have thought that they're the same counting? Because the same exact number. 603,550. So Rashi is going to say, don't think just because it's the same number, don't think it's the same counting. It's two different countings. It happens to be that it came out to be the same number. Actually, the Gurari over there says a different pshat, says maybe it was the same counting. This is what Rashi says in Kisisa. So Rashi is bothered. How is it possible to have such a thing that it's 603,550 in, I'm not sure exactly when, but some point probably around Tishrei. And almost 7 months later, in ER, it's again exactly 603,550. The counting was done between the ages of 20 and 60. So every day, thousands of people have their birthday and become 20. And every day, thousands of people have their birthday and become 60. So Rashi is bothered by this kasha. So Rashi says that, for whatever reason, the counting didn't go by, they didn't start counting from when a person turned 20. It went by people who were 20 by Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. When Rosh Hashanah, if you were 20, you were counted. If you were less than 60, you were counted. It doesn't matter that in the next day maybe you're going to be 61, or it doesn't matter if the next day you're going to be 20, you're not counted, even though it's still before the counting. So it comes out that if you go by Tishrei, the two countings are in the same year. They're 7 months apart. One's, let's say, Tishrei, and the other one's in Iyar. So it comes out that it's all the same year, so that's how it could be the same number. Ramban has a lot of kashas on Rashi. Some of them are a little hard to understand exactly what he's bothered with, but Iker kashas, Tami doesn't understand why over here we should count by Tishrei instead of counting by their actual birthdays. But another kashas he's bothered with is that, very nice, you've explained why you don't have to worry about people getting older. What about people dying? If it's a big nation of 603,550 people, how is it possible that nobody died in 7 months? People die. It's not normal for such a big statistically, it's just not normal that in such a big nation nobody would die. And Ramban even asks more, because you have the Pasuk in Baal Oyscha, which is actually before, chronologically before Parashat Bamidbar, it says, Anosh Meshihayu Tmeim Nefesh Adam. It's a little hard to understand exactly that kasha, because Chazal say that that was either Atmos Yosef, or Nadav Venaviu. It's also hard to understand, that's the Farshim ask on the Ramban. It's also hard to understand because Rashi's not saying nobody after 60 could have died. Somebody who was 85 could have died. He wouldn't have been counted anyway. So it's a little bit hard to understand that kasha. But Stan the Ramban is asking, how is it possible that nobody died? Same as the Farshim, the Mizrahi and the Maral answer the Ramban's kasha. Very posh. The Mizrahi brings the Ramban himself, like in four different places. But the Ramban says that really, Israel doesn't live, we can't assume that the Teva is gonna apply to Klal Yisrael. We can't assume nature is gonna take its course with Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is above Teva, so therefore, it's possible that even though Alpi Teva, a lot of people will die in that amount of time, but it's possible that, basically, essentially a nace that nobody died. That's the Mizrahi says, and he says, compared to the other nisim that were going on over there, it's not even a big nes. Nobody died. So many other nisim. You have the Anon Yaakovit, you have the Bear, you have much, much bigger nisim than this. So why is Ramban so bothered that how is it possible nobody died? Rosh Hashanah made a nes. Right? People's shoes grew on their feet. As their feet got bigger, their shoes grew. So it's a much bigger nes, seemingly, than nobody dying. Mizrahi says even a little differently that dying less than 60 is already premature death. It's not. People aren't supposed to die less than 60. So it's not even really a big nace that nobody dies. So it's a minor nace at best. That's essentially the teretz of the Mefarshim. The Ramban doesn't go with that teretz. Ramban learns that the reason that the number is able to be the same was because the first time Sheva Levi was counted, this time Sheva Levi is not counted. But Rashi learns, not like that. Rashi learns that Sheva Levi wasn't counted either time. And it was a nice that nobody died. Understand what the Ramban is asking? It's very nice. Of course, Ramban understands it could be a nice. But what's the purpose of this nice? Why did this nice have to be? Why did Moshe have to make it that nobody would die? Why did he have to change for that period of time, make it that nobody in Klal Yisrael died? Another kasha and Rashi and Mefarshim ask that, if it was exactly the same number, nobody died, and you're counting from Tishrei, so it's for sure going to be the same number. So why are you counting again? V'chlal. Understand that the concept that Ribbono Shel Olam always counts constantly, Rashi brings it in a few places, that Ribbono Shel Olam always counts Klal Yisrael. But the Maisa, it makes sense to count if it's possible that the number changed. If it's impossible that the number changed, it doesn't really make sense to count again. What are you counting for? It's the same number. Yes, maybe you could argue that Gufa that was counted the second time was to show the nace that nobody died. That whole nes is not, it's not in the psukim anywhere. It's not, doesn't seem like there's any emphasis on the nes of nobody dying. So it's a little bit hard to understand what's the purpose of this count when you know right away that the number is going to be the same because you know that nobody died. If nobody died, it's a big nes, nobody died. It was known to people, right, that nobody died. Chaver Kedisha would probably have, started wondering. Nobody's, they would have, it's been interesting. Nobody's died in the last 3, 4, or 5 months. It would have been a hard, big thing, and therefore it's very hard to understand why they would have counted again. If you look also in the Psukim itself, there seems to be differences between the Tzivui to count Klal Yisrael here, and the Tzivui in Kisisa. Kisisa, the Tzivui is, Kisisa es Roish Bnei Yisrael Lifkudeihem. That's basically it. And it's who you count. That's basically just Kisisa es Roish Bnei Yisrael Lifkudeihem. And here it's a little bit more. Su es Roish Kol Agas Bnei Yisrael Mishpachaisim Leveis Avoisim. So they're commanded to count with the Mishpachais and the which families are from, with their fathers are. And then Bimispar Shemois Kol Zachar LeGugalaisim. And the counting of names, the number of names. And it's not mentioned anywhere in Kisisa. To count the, shouldn't have their names, just to count the people, you don't have to count their names. The question is, what's the difference between this counting and that counting? Why should there be a difference? And you go on, you see that they counted each shevet separately, which they didn't do the first time. And then, even after that, after the counting, then they arranged them, different places to live. Also, that didn't happen the first time. So what changed between sometime in Tishrei and Bamidbar, sometime in Tishrei and Iyar, that the minyan had to be a very different, much more detailed type of minyan. Okay, so to begin, this is really another kasha that the Chazal bring, that the Mishkan is the chasana of Klal Yisrael and Ribbono Shel Olam. Pasuk in Parshas Nosos says Vayhi biyom kalis Moshe l'hakam es haMishkan. So kalis, that is a lashon of kala, that when the day of hakam es haMishkan, Klal Yisrael was kekala hanechneses l'chopa. Klal Yisrael became like a kala that enters into the chopa. The other thing in this week's Parsha, the Medrash brings a similar idea that. The counting over here was also the first pasuk over here goes into detail. Bemidbar Sinai, Be'omoyed, Be'echad L'Chodesh Hasheni, B'Shan Hasheni is a very specific place, specific time. And the Medrash also says, this is Medama that to a king who says at first he married women who weren't so great, and he didn't make a point of delineating the place or the time. And then he finds a good shidduch, and he says, oh, now we're going to say where and when, and make a little bit of matzah. So it sounds like also there's some level of chasna happening here, which is very close to Akamas HaMishkan. It sounds like the Iker chasna is by Akamas HaMishkan. We know that the Chayim Matan Torah is the chasna between Klal Yisrael and the Baruch Shalom, as Rashi brings in Parashas Yisra, and Rashi in Shir HaShirim, and the Pasuk Yom Chasun Asai. Rashi's Yom Chasun Asai is Matan Torah. So what's the need for having two chasnas? Right? It's the same, and to marry them, what are you getting married again? So the Teres Zuchar is very poshut, is that in between the first chasna and the second chasna, there was the egel. Klal Yisrael did the egel. The egel, the Gemara says, Aluva Kalash is Shazin Tzvotechel Pasa. The egel was a betrayal of the chasnas that they had. It was a betrayal of the marriage between Klal Yisrael and Ribbono Shel Olam. Klal Yisrael made the egel that was Kilu, they were mezana, tachas their husband. So it would seem that there was a problem with the first marriage. They tried to do Ribbono Shel Olam made a chasna, but then there was a problem. What fixes that problem? So that we know from Rashi in Parshas Pekudei. It says Mishkan Ha'edus. Pekudei Mishkan Ha'edus. So Rashi says that Mishkan Ha'edus is the edus that Ribbono Shel Olam was moichel Klal Yisrael on the eagle. So the Mishkan shows that Klal Yisrael has fixed the problem of the egel. It's also a little bit difficult to understand because Yom Kippur, Ribbono Shel Olam was already, Moshe Rabbeinu went up 40 days, and Ribbono Shel Olam forgave Klal Yisrael for the egel. There's already a kapara for the egel. So the terrace of that is that by the Egel, there's two problems. Number one, they did a big chet. They did a big chet. They were supposed to be punished. Moshe was going to wipe them all out. And he's moichel them. That's on Yom Kippur. He's moichel them. He's not gonna kill them. But the ma'isa, the Egel was also a simen that they weren't ready for the chasna of Kabbalah Satara. It also was megala that Klal Yisrael wasn't really holding by being married to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They weren't ready for the chasna. So in order for Klal Yisrael to become ready for the chasna, that's what the Mishkan is. The Mishkan means that now Klal Yisrael is ready to have the chasna. That's the pshat in the two chasnas. The first chasna, Klal Yisrael showed that they weren't ready, so that's why they needed Hakamas HaMishkan. Hakamas HaMishkan is the second chasna. And that's why it means that the Mishkan HaEdus, Mishkan is a raya that Klal Yisrael was forgiven for the Egel, means that it's a raya that Klal Yisrael has achieved what they were supposed to have achieved by Matan Torah. Meaning like this, that really by Matan Torah, the Ribbono Shel Olam would have been the full chasna. And at that point, really had Klal Yisrael not done the Egel, there would have been a Hashruas HaShchina on Klal Yisrael. Because really giving the Torah is really where the Hashruas HaShchina comes from. The Shchina goes where the Torah is. So really, by Matan Torah, there should have been the Hashruas HaShchina that you have later on by the Mishkan, really should have been by Kabbalah Torah, except for the Egel. The Egel made it that the Ribbono Shel Olam said, wait, I'm not going to be Mashur my Shchina yet, because you're not holding by being ready for that. Until you're going to build the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is going to be the Tikkun for the Egel, and that I'll be able to be Mashur my Shchina on the Egel. On the Mishkan. That's the Pshat over here in the first counting. The first counting of was done with the Machzah Shekel. What's the Machzah Shekel for? The Machzah Shekel is to build Adonim for the Mishkan. To build the Sakas, the foundation of the Mishkan is through the Machzah Shekel. The Machzah Shekel means Klal Yisrael is giving themselves over to be part of the Mishkan, to be the Mokim of Hashruas HaShchina, which they weren't ready to be for. Before, by building the angle, they were saying that we're not ready for Kabbalah Satara. The Machzah Shekel and the building of the Mishkan is Klal Yisrael becoming Roy for Hashruas HaShchina. The counting is the same idea. Whenever you're counting something, you're not just counting numbers, it's not just numbers, it's not just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's one. Whatever you're counting, if you're counting money, so it's $1, $2, you're always counting a unit of something. So what's the unit that's being counted over here? The unit that's being counted over here, I think, is the unit of people who are going to be able to have the Hashruas HaShchina. The unit of people who are going to be the ones where the Shchina is going to be able to be Shairan. How do Klal Yisrael become the Mokim for Hashruas HaShchina? That's because you have the end of the Nesu'in. So essentially the Mishkan, the Hakamas HaMishkan, is the Hashlama of Matan Torah. It's the end of Matan Torah, really, Hakamas HaMishkan. Right? The Chasna was supposed to be my Matan Torah is put on hold until they have the Mishkan, and then it's completed by Hakamas HaMishkan. Hakamas HaMishkan is the Hashlama of Matan Torah. So the number of people that are being counted over here are the number of people who are going to have this Hashlama of Matan Torah, the number of people who will be the Mekabli HaTorah. It's a famous, from Rav Sadia, I'm sure there's other Makaris for it. Chidah brings in the Shema Gedolah, he has a sefer discussing all the earlier Gedolim, so he talks about Rav Sadia Gaon, and there's a story with Rav Sadia Gaon that he had to speak to a tailor, and Taylor was very nervous. So Sadia Gaon trying to calm him down a little bit. So he asked him, "How many stitches did you stitch today?" He says, "I don't know. Do you know how many letters there are in the Torah?" So the Sadia Gaon was taken aback. He didn't know how many letters are in the Torah. So that night he had a chaloim, and a malach came to him and told him that the word Yisrael is an acronym. For Yeshishim Ribo Oisius LaTorah, that there's 600,000 letters in the Torah. And Sadia went on to write a whole poem about that idea, the 600,000 letters in the Torah. It's brought down a lot of places, early places, that it's not just a coincidence that 600,000 people in Klal Yisrael and 600,000 letters in the Torah. 600,000, by the way, is loud down. It's really 603,550. And it's also very hard to, a lot of, A lot of people try to figure out exactly. If you actually count the letters, there's only 300 and something thousand letters. It's really very far off. But they give a lot of different terutzim to exactly how you get to the number 600. Not that anybody ever actually made a cheshbon that gets to that exact number, but they give terutzim why it's not exactly the same number. Al-Kopayim, the idea is that every person in Klal Yisrael, every person who was makabel the Torah by Klal Yisrael, was a chelik of the Torah. Now, the Torah wasn't just given over to Klal Yisrael. The Torah was nikva based on who was being given to, who was given to Klal Yisrael. Every person, they say, everyone's neshama is oisacha sub Torah. Every person is like one letter of the Torah. So this number that we have in Parshas Ki Siso, 600, 2,550, that's coming to say that these people are the people that the Torah is going to be based on. Torah is going to be this connected, these 603,550, which means that all the people who were killed by the Egel, the people who really did the Chara Egel, who were killed, Parshas Ki Siso, a lot of people were killed. Those people don't have any chelik in the Torah, Lamaisa, even though they were alive by Vav Sivan. But Lamaisa, they don't have any chelik, they're excluded from that. This minion, that, saying that a minion is not just to come up with a number, the minion was koivea, that these are the people that even though right now in Achinami they're not really roi for Kabbalah Satara, but these are the people who, when they have a Mishkan, they will be roi for Kabbalah Satara, and these are the people who should build the Mishkan and make themselves roi for Kabbalah Satara, and give Machzah Shekel to give themselves a chelik in the Mishkan itself to be roi for the Kabbalah Satara and the Hashras HaShchina. That's the minion in Parshas Kisisa, the minion in Parshas Pikudei, the minion of people who are connected to Torah. So now, I think, it comes out that you understand exactly why the Baruch Shalom made a nace that nobody should die between the first minion and the second minion. The first minion is being koiveya, is determining which are the people that are shaykh to Kabbalah Satara, that they're going to be the Mekabli Atara. So you can't have different people be the, that's koiveya, these are the Mekabli Atara. When is the actual Kabbalah Satara going to be Nishlam? It's going to be Nishlam only by ear. So it has to be the same people. You can't be koiveya these people and then have different people. So that's why the Rosh Hashanah had to make it that nobody would die, so that the people who he was koiveya will be the Mekabli Atara, will be around to actually be Mekabli Atara by the Hakamah Submission. To answer the Ramban's Kashan Rashi, it's not that we find over here a nace that nobody talks to him, nobody says it. It's a partial thing, the nace. It's not a nace. That's goof for what the first minion was. The first minion was to make it that they would have to be alive by ear, by the second, or by Akamas and Mishkan, as we'll see by ear as well. Can't have the beginning of the marriage and the end of the marriage be with two different people. You marry somebody, you're marrying that person. You can't start marrying somebody and end up marrying somebody else. It's all one long chasana, essentially. So it's a chasana which starts Matan Torah, or really also by the first minion is koiveh, who the chasana is really going to be with. The chasana means the people who are going to be makabel the Torah, that is the chasana. And the end of the Kabbalah Satara, and the end of the chasana is by the Hakamas HaMishkan. Okay, so that whole period of time that's going on between we don't find much happening then. We have a couple of things, but there's not much happening, is because that was all just Klal Yisrael getting themselves roi for the Hashras HaShchina, for the Kabbalah Satara that was going to happen by Hakamas HaMishkan. I think also this could be why we find the Gemara says that the whole Torah was given by Sinai, and it was Nishnas by Almayr. So what does it have to be Nishnas by Almayr? Shalot talks about what's the Pshat was Nishnas by Almayr. It's a different Pshat, but it could be very Pashat that it was given by Sinai, but they weren't right to be Mekabalat at that point. It had to be Nishnas by Almayr. Almayr is the end of the Chasna. That's when Klal Yisrael really is able to be Mekabalat the Torah, and that's when they really have Shaychus to the Torah. That's when they had to learn the Torah again, so that they could really connected to Torah. That is the end of the chasana. That had to be, at that point, they had to have a new Kabbalah Satara in a way. That's the Nishnas by El Moed. Perhaps. There we are. Okay. Okay, so now what's the second counting over here? What's the second counting? They counted the people who are going to be the Mekabli HaTorah. What's the second counting? So it's also, if you could just say very simply like this, that what does it mean to be Mekabli HaTorah? Is that just a one-time thing, or is it just Mekabli HaTorah and then you go on with your life, where you know, Mekabli HaTorah really changes a person. It has an effect. That you're not the same person that you were before. Now, once a person Mekabel HaTorah, yes, no. Now, what does that mean? What should he do now that he's a Mekabel HaTorah? Up until then, they're just getting themselves ready for Kabbalah HaTorah. But now that they're Mekabel HaTorah, so now what? So that I believe is the second minyan over here, and the second minyan is to show them what they're supposed to be doing now that they are Mekabel HaTorah. It's really, once they're being Mekabel HaTorah, what does that mean? Is the Torah really is the world is run through the Torah. The Torah is what the world runs on, right? If you don't have people learning all the time, there wouldn't be, right? Chukas Shemayim V'aretz L'Samti. Without the Torah, there wouldn't be a world. The Torah is what keeps the world. It means that the Kiyum HaTorah is only through Klal Yisrael. It's only through Klal Yisrael learning Torah that's the whole kiyum of the world. So that's where we come to in this week's parasha, that now Klal Yisrael becomes the force by which the world is run. So that's the idea of them forming sort of an army over here. They use the lashon of Tzava, right? Many times in the parasha, is forming an army. They're forming legions of people who are going to carry out what it means to be a Mekabel HaTorah. And for that, not everybody's role is going to be the same. For that, everybody has their own chelik, and everybody's chelik is completely separate from everybody else's chelik. So this new counting over here isn't just a counting to get a number. It's a counting of each individual person, and in essence, it's giving him his role in Klal Yisrael, in the Torah. It's delineating where you should be. Every person, depending on who he is and his family, the different, obviously, the Shvatim all have different midos and koichos that you know, each individual is from the brachas of Yaakov Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Shvatim all had different traits that are all necessary components of Klal Yisrael. So there's a lot of differences. There's differences of people by which Shevet they are, and there's also differences between people based on their families. Families also have different traits. And the Beis Avoisim, even in one family, the different people in one family also, they all have different traits. So the counting over here wasn't just to count the klal. It was a counting of the individuals, and it was sort of an appointment. It was giving each one of them a specific job, just like you would have in an army. You would have, not everybody does the exact same job in the army. In the army, you have different people with different jobs, and they use their koichos. Some use their intelligence, and some use their strength, and some use their, I don't know, I'm not a military guy over here. But everyone has different strengths, and I guess they get put into the areas in which they excel. And that's the idea over here of the golem. The counting, which is also different shvatim, and mispar shemos. The shemos also, a shame is really moira on a person's individual purpose in the world. The individual koichos, a lot of that comes from his shame. So they have to have the names also, because that also is shows what their strengths are, what their abilities are. So the number plus also the golem, the different places, the different shvatim, the different areas in which there are different sides, the different sides of the Mishkan, that all relates to what their avoida is now that they are Mekabli HaTorah. Now that they're the ones essentially keeping the world going, right? Running the world, making sure that the what the Baruch Shalom wants to give to the world is going to be able to happen and prevent bad things from happening in the world. Now that they're entrusted with that task, so they have to know how to fulfill it. And that's the concept of the Gaon. The Medrash says that when Klal Yisrael saw, well, by Matan Torah, they saw the Ribono Shel Olam came, he had 22 revolvers of Malachi Asharis around him. And all the Malachim, each of the groups, they all had the Golem. I don't know the group, I think maybe each individual Malach, they all had the Golem. When Klal Yisrael saw that, they wanted that. That's what they said. They wanted, this is what we want. We want like the Malachim have. And it's the same idea. The Malachim are the fulfillment of the Ribono Shel Olam's Rotzen in Shemayim. It's to come down. And Klal Yisrael becomes like those Malachim on earth. And to do that, that's the idea that they also have the Golem. The Golem is also to show each person's individual place within Klal Yisrael. I think that's the Ava that the Gilui Alei Ava, the measure says that the Golem showed the tremendous Ava that Klal Yisrael had. That's the Ava of being, this is what it really means to have a chasna with the Ribono Shel Olam, to be married to the Ribono Shel Olam. What does it mean to be married to Ribono Shel Olam? It means to be able to be the kli by which his rotzen is carried out into the world, and that's obviously through the Torah. The Torah is what the world is based on. So that's the tremendous ava that Ribono Shel Olam had with Klal Yisrael, that he made them into the ones who are taking his rotzen and bringing it out into the world. That's, I think, the idea of the Ava and the Chiba that the Midrashim were talking about over here. Coming back to the parasha over here, just quickly, the first pasuk of the parasha already, it says, "B'midbar Sinai bo'el moed." Hashem spoke to Moshe, "B'midbar Sinai bo'el moed." I think that's also, what's the midbar Sinai bo'el moed? Just say, Midbar Sinai Ba'al Moed is that now, this is the connection between Midbar Sinai, which is Matan Torah. Midbar Sinai was where the Hashuas Hashchina was until then. That's Matan Torah and Ba'al Moed. This over here is the where it comes together. Midbar Sinai, the Torah really comes into the Ba'al Moed at this point over here. It's the merging of the two ideas of Midbar Sinai and Ba'al Moed. Okay, now obviously this is the Medrash talks about it in the beginning of the parasha also, by Midbar Sinai, this is the Shlok Raya that the Medrash talks about, that the Torah was given three things, the Eish with Mayim and the Midbar. The Medrash talks about whatever that means, the Medrash goes on, Midbar is like Hefker Lekoil, we have different ideas that the Torah had to be Midbar, but the Torah, this is the wrong place for it, right? The Torah was given in Parashas Yisroi. It's also, it says Midbar over there. So that's where Chazal should say. The Torah says that the Torah was supposed to be given then, but the actual end of the Torah actually being given only happened over here, B'midbar Sinai Ba'al Moed, because the Klal Yisrael Shaychus to the Torah ends up only coming through the Ba'al Moed, through the Hakamas HaMishkan, through the Hashuas HaShchina in the Mishkan. That's where Klal Yisrael, when you're married to somebody, you have to be together. So that's only that's really the final, the actual time when Klal Yisrael really was Mekabel the Torah, and that's why the Medrash over here is that the Torah was given B'midbar. Okay, obviously this is the connection between Shavuos and Parashat B'midbar, that Shavuos is Kabbalah Satara, but Kabbalah Satara isn't finished without this week's Parashat. This is not just the act of Kabbalah Satara, this is the Gemara of Kabbalah Satara, and this is what tells me that Kabbalah Satara doesn't just mean to be Mekabel Torah. It means that now that you were Mekabel Torah, that you have something you have to do. You're joining this tzava, you're joining this the legions of the Ribono Shel Olam with Kabbalah Satara. So you shouldn't come to Shavuos and think, okay, very nice, we got the Torah. Yeah, it's a nice thing to learn. It's a responsibility. Look at having the Torah. The Torah is understand that Shavuos is the day that not only of Kabbalah Satara, it means that that's the day that we become, that's the day that we came, that's, Kabbalah Satara is not just to have the Torah, the Kabbalah Satara is to have a job, and everyone has to work on themselves and try to figure, we don't have Moshe Rabbeinu now telling us what our job is supposed to be. So you have to, it's more difficult. You have to figure that out on your own, what your koichos are, and where you're supposed to be in relationship to, in your relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. But that's what Shavuos is for. Shavuos is to remind me that I have a responsibility over here, not just that I got the Torah, that the Torah was mechayev me to be the emissary of Hashem, to be the way that Ribbono Shel Olam is going to be running his world. That I am the one who's going to be mekayim the world with my Torah.